I'm going to put a word up here that hopefully will help you to handle shame. And it's the word identity. What is identity? For a Christian, your identity is who you are in Christ. Unless you understand that and truly believe that, you will struggle when people in your life don't affirm you. When people don't validate you, unless you know who you are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? You're redeemed. You're blood bought. You have been forgiven. You are a new creation in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. You are a child of the heavenly King. Unless you truly believe that, when people don't like your picture, it makes for a bad day. And when you have a bad day, you take it out on those around you.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming sermon titled Related by Dr. Abhinand Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. Here at Clearview, our goal is to make Christ visible in the way that we worship and the way that we serve others. We'd love to see you at one of our services at 3485 Oxford Road. And for more information on our church, visit clearviewbc.org. But for now, let's listen to this week's sermon.
Relatives, family members, loved ones, we all have them, don't we? And we all love them. They would do anything for us. We would do anything for them. Having said that, they're also the very people who drive us crazy. Especially, amen, during the holiday season. Someone said it this way, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. And I think they may have a point. Now, if your family is wonderful, you guys get along, love each other, that's great. Pass this message on to someone else. But maybe you do need to hear this message. Because in today's message, we're going to learn that even Jesus had to deal with a crazy earthly family. In fact, throughout his earthly ministry, they thought he was out of his mind. Jesus used wisdom and grace in relating with his family. And that's exactly what you and I need. We need wisdom and grace. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 20. And let's all once again stand for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 20. Then the multitudes came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. When his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. They're talking about Jesus. He is out of his mind. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. This is verse 31 in the same chapter. And verse 32, and a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. Would you bow your heads right now, right where you are? Never given your life to Christ? Say a simple prayer that says, Jesus, I don't know everything in the Bible. I don't know everything about who you are and why you came, but I know this much, I need you in my life. I need you to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and take over. I repent. I believe. I confess that I'm a sinner. You are the Savior, the perfect Lamb of God who died for me, was buried, and rose again. And I want to live for you from this day on. Now thank him for saving you. Now as many of you know, I have been pastoring for about 21 years. And through the years, people have come to me for counseling in all kinds of issues and situations. But in my experience, one of the major issues that people struggle with is family relationships. Now, family, we love them. They give us a sense of belonging. They give us a place to go on special days, on holidays. We have a family get-together. We have a family reunion coming up. It's an awesome feeling to have people in your life who know your past, good and bad, and they still accept you for no other reason other than we're related. Our family or a family member can also be a great source of consternation or pain in our lives. There are family members or a family member who for one reason or another has turned toxic and has been for a long time. And people like that usually use two weapons that we're going to focus on this morning. And they are, I call them weapons of mass destruction. And the first weapon is the weapon of shame. It's often done in family circles. Shame, something in your past that is brought up to shame you. Or the other weapon, and sometimes both are used, sometimes they overlap, is blame. Shame and blame. These are two things that family uses, and they are destructive. They're horrible. And even though Jesus came for the primary purpose of redemption, keep in mind, he is fully God. He too had a family that used shame and blame against him. But he dealt with them with wisdom and with grace. It was up to me. I would just be like, you're gone. You don't exist anymore. And yet he didn't do that. He used wisdom and grace. And we need to do the same. So let's go back to that. Starting in verse 20, we just read this passage. Then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. To understand what this means, we need to back up to verse 7 of this same chapter, Mark chapter 3 in verse 7. It says, but Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee, which is to the north, followed him. And from Judea, which is to the south, and Jerusalem, which is the capital, right? This is the place, the holy city. And Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon. So not only people on this side of the Jordan, the west side, but also the east side. When Jesus began his ministry, thousands upon thousands of people were going to him. And what was he doing with them? Listen to verse 9. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. All they were trying to do was get to him and just touch him, because if you touch him, you could be healed. Jesus was not some charismatic figure who just loved a big following. You know, follow me, everybody follow me. I am your leader, I am your guru. That's not what was happening. Of course, thousands of people were following him because their lives were being transformed. If they were sick, listen to what it says in verse 10, he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. But something else was happening. Listen to verse 11. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. People were demonically possessed. Now, folks, that still happens to this day. The demonic world is very active, and it controls and it tries to destroy lives, and even Christians. You may not be possessed, but you would be terribly influenced if you allow evil into your life. Here's what I'm saying to you. Everything Jesus was doing was to transform and help people. It was changing lives. But what was the response of his family? We're talking about the extended family. Listen to verse 21. But when his own people heard about this. Now, who are the own people? These are not just Jesus' immediate family. These are the extended family. When we talk about extended family, we're talking about people living in his hometown. hometown of Nazareth. Just like even today, small communities, everybody is related. That's why you never talk bad about anybody. You never know. It might be a third cousin or a second cousin or whatever. Even now, in different parts of around here, you go through communities, everybody seems to have the same last name, right? It's somehow they are related. So what happens, word gets back to Nazareth, where Jesus is from, that he is doing all these things. So what is their reaction? Listen to verse 21 again. They went out to what? To praise him? No. What did they do? They came to lay hold of him. The word is krateo, which means to seize him. They were going to bind him up, violently take him, and do what? Take him back home. Now keep in mind, thousands of lives are following Jesus. The sick are being healed. The demon-possessed are being set free. And family, this extended family back home is like, we got to get him out of there. And why? Listen to again in verse 21. They said he is out of his mind. The word in Greek is exhistemi. It's a combination word of ex is the same word from which we get our word exit. Exit means what? You're leaving. You're leaving. You're departing. Histemi is standing. So he is standing, but his mind has left him. Has that happened to you? Maybe not physically, but verbally and even emotionally. Sometimes family members have a way of telling you, we don't approve. Now, folks, if you're doing something wrong, if you're about to commit an affair or addiction, your family member should step up. That should be the impetus that tells you, I can't do this because I have to face grandma. I have to face my cousins. I have to face family members. I cannot act this way. But unfortunately, many times, we have success in life, whatever that success is. You found somebody to love. You are in a good business. You bought a new home. You bought a new car. Your kids just graduated. Your family is doing well. Instead of being happy for you, what happens? Many times family members have a way of saying, are you well? But they're not going to say, well done. They will say, are you well? Are you okay? You don't look so good. It's validation. It's affirmation that we are looking for. And same thing in Jesus' ministry. His family refused to validate. To the contrary, they came to lay hold of him. Now, why were they like that? Let's back up to Mark chapter 6 for a moment, because here we get a context. He gives us a context of why this extended family, these people in Nazareth, did what they did. It wasn't a big town, by the way. Just like a one caution light town. Nazareth was not very big. Well, let's go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 1 to get some context. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, his old stomping grounds near Nazareth, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath came, you know, this is Jesus' hometown. As a little boy, he went to the synagogue. He went to the synagogue every Sabbath. So Sabbath comes. He goes to the synagogue. What happens? Many were hearing him. He began to teach, and they were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? They know him, but where did he learn to talk like this? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Now pay attention to this. Are y'all awake? Listen to the next verse. Is this not the carpenter? They didn't say, is this not the carpenter's son? Remember, Joseph was a carpenter. Really, he was a handyman. The word really doesn't mean carpenter, like working with wood necessarily, but he was, you know, kind of an odd jobs kind of man. They didn't say this is Joseph's son, because we know this boy is illegitimate. By the way, there are no illegitimate kids, right? They're just illegitimate parents. Sometimes there are family members who have a way of bringing up stuff just to put you back in your place. Now, folks, please listen very carefully. I don't care how much Bible you know and how much you love John MacArthur and Charles Stanley and Adrian Rogers or BBN. It doesn't matter. But if you do that kind of stuff, you are living in sin. If you like to shame people, Christ is not the Lord of your life, no matter how much you claim. You need to repent. Is this not the carpenter? But listen, it's over there. Then the son of Mary. They didn't say Mary and Joseph. Mary and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? So they were, listen to this word. What's the word? They were offended. The word is scandalizo, from which we get our English word scandal. Remember the scandal from 30 years ago? Yeah, we remember that. This boy is a product of that scandal. Isn't that crazy? Are y'all still, is this helping anybody? Should we keep going? Isn't that crazy? The Son of God, the one who sits at the right hand of God, became fully man, and they are bringing up his past as a scandal. It blows my mind. Their problem was shame. Hey, listen very carefully, and some of you, if your family is great, I hope this doesn't mess it up, okay? So keep it going. Pray for God's protection around. Maybe it's about to be messed up. That's why God brought you here today. But I'm talking to those who might be struggling with similar issues. Here's what I want you to remember. Some people will never get over your past. Stop trying to convince them. Some people will never forget, no matter how much of a hero or a heroine you may be, hometown heroes are few and far between. And sometimes if you're hoping they'll build you a statue, it may happen after you die. Okay? Here's a question. Is that you? Do you like to shame people? Do you like to put them back in their place? Here's something I want you to hear. Grow with people. You know what it means to grow with people? It means this. Stop treating people like you treated them 20 or 30 years ago when they were down and out. Now, I'm saying this. Those who know my heart, you know I'm not trying to be prideful, but I'm just sharing my heart. Our church used to be very small. Some of y'all remember those days. 20 members was a good Sunday. All right, and so I was working two jobs. Nicole did too. We would try to survive. And we knew some people who would come and, you know, just talk down. Just you know, it's like that little, you know, small little church on the other side of the tracks. That's not going to amount to much. I mean, it's just, you felt it. You have anybody here understand what I'm talking about? You feel when somebody's talking down to you. It's like, here's the funny thing. Our church is growing by the grace of God. God's doing some amazing things, and I give him all the glory. Do you know some of those same people still come around and they try to talk the same way? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to remind me you're still the same. Now, I kind of shrug their arm off and say, don't do that. I give God the glory. This is not about a pride issue, but this is about you bringing your toxicity into my life. I can't have that. Hey, listen, you have to do the same thing with family members when they try to put you back in there, in your place. You have to kind of, you got to get your arm off. Can't go there. Somebody getting this? What happened over here? Now, listen. This is very powerful. My challenge to you is, if you are the person who does this, grow with the people in your life. Don't think that people are still where they were 20 years ago or even 2 years ago. They will appreciate you far more if you treat them with respect. Hey, listen, they may even give you credit for where they are today. And yet, Jesus' extended family, by the way, did not do that. Now, how did Jesus respond to this? Listen to verse 4. But Jesus said to them, our time is running away, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own. I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. He said, my own relatives, my earthly relatives cannot treat me with honor. And in his own house. Now, keep in mind, all this was a fulfillment of prophecy, that there is a a double drama that is taking place. Of course, one drama is happening in a particular time and place, but on the other hand, Jesus is step by step fulfilling every prophecy of the Old Testament. And the prophecy is found in Psalm 69, verse 8. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. I have become. Now, go back to verse 5, Mark chapter 6. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few people who were sick and healed them. Now listen to verse 6. This is very powerful. And he marveled. There are many things in the Bible I don't understand. This is one of them. Jesus was fully God, fully man at one time. He knew past, present, future. He is sovereign. He is all the omnis put together. And yet at that moment, he's going, wow, this is quite amazing. They are shaming me. He marveled because of their unbelief. But then he does something. Then he went about the villages in his circuits teaching. He didn't stay there and say, I wonder what I can do to please them. I'm going to put a word up here that hopefully will help you to handle shame. And it's the word identity. What is identity? For a Christian, your identity is who you are in Christ. Unless you understand that and truly believe that, you will struggle when people in your life don't affirm you. When people don't validate you, unless you know who you are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? You're redeemed. You're blood bought. You have been forgiven. You are a new creation in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. You are a child of the heavenly King. Unless you truly believe that, when people don't like your picture, it makes for a bad day. And when you have a bad day, you take it out on those around you. You have to walk with Christ. You have to read the Word. You have to pray on a daily basis. You have to have a living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ. Unless you have that, your identity is going to always drift towards isolation or whatever someone wants you to be. Let's go back to Mark chapter 3 and verse 31. But something else happens. His extended family from Nazareth comes and does all this because they are trying to shame him. But then his brothers and his mother also came. Now, why did they come? Maybe the hometown crowd went and told them, hey, look, we can't do anything with him. He is surrounded by thousands of people. If we try to get hold of him and drag him home, they'll kill us. But listen to what they do. Verse 31, and standing outside, Jesus was in a house in Capernaum. They did not go in. They stood outside. Now, somebody may say, well, maybe it was too crowded in there. This was not a crowd issue. Okay, this was not because it was too crowded to walk into the room. You say, how do you know that? It may be crowded. Well, listen to the next verse. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, what? Look! Which means what? You can see them. Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. You know why they were doing that? They were refusing to come in. By refusing to come in, they were refusing to endorse his success. Now, if you grew up in a home like that, and if you have parents to do this, I'm so sorry. Their problem was blame. They were blaming Jesus. Now, how did Jesus respond? I love this. This is so great. But he answered them saying, who is my mother and my brothers? But he answered and he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. Very powerful, which means this. Jesus did not submit his ministry to his family's approval. If your family is doing that to you, now unless it's because you are messing around, you're getting into immoral things or addiction and they're trying to guide you, that's one thing. We're not talking about that. But if they're trying to control your life, what is God's vision? If you're a believer, every person has the vision to seek and to save that which was lost. If we were to end this message here, you know what this message would be? Us against the world. us against family. If you have a great family, wonderful. If you don't have a great family, know who you are, know what God has called you to do, forget them. But the message doesn't end there. Because Jesus did not end his ministry on earth with, I know who I am, this is what I came to do. He ended his ministry with grace. He said, how do we know that? Well, how did he end his ministry with his mother? Well, you remember in John chapter 19, Jesus was hanging on the cross giving his final statements. Anybody remember that? And who was standing there before him? And it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister and a couple other people. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by. But what does Jesus do from the cross? He looks at his mother and says, Mother, behold your son. And he looks at the beloved disciple, John, and says, this is your mother. Hey, listen, folks, you'll never go wrong showing grace. How about his brothers? Well, Paul tells us a little bit about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4, where Paul is giving us the gospel in a nutshell. He says, Jesus rose again the third day according to the scriptures, that he was seen by Cephas, meaning Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500. But now, listen to verse 7. After that, he was seen by James. Now, who is James? James was Jesus' brother. Remember James and Judas and a couple other names? And you know what happened because of that? James became the pastor of the mother church. The mother church is Jerusalem. And he wrote the Epistle of James, one of my favorite books in the New Testament. You know what that tells us? That Jesus did not stop with identity and vision. He went on to demonstrate grace towards his family. We need to come and pray. Coming and praying does not mean my family is a mess. Coming and praying is saying, God, I want you to use me. I want you to work in my life. Remove any bitterness in my heart. Or you may know a family that needs prayer. You may know a couple that needs prayer. You may know an aged family member who needs prayer. You know someone who's just become cantankerous. Whatever happened, they need prayer. I remember watching this conversation at a dinner table at a family reunion where one person said to another, right from me, I never liked you. I'm thinking, wow. It's not funny, honestly. It was horrible. I felt so bad for this person. I don't know what you've done, but this is not right. And that person claimed to be a Christian. And I said it last night, and on the way out, a lady said, yeah, my brother-in-law said that to me. He said, I don't like you. If you've done those kind of things, you need to really need to be repenting. It's not right. It does not represent Christ. Grace. Grace puts the other person first and does it genuinely.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's sermon. How do you deal with your family? When we know our identity and we know the vision that God has given us, we can deal with our family in a way that honors God and in a way that brings glory to his name. For more information and for this sermon's notes, check out Dr. Shah's blog at abadanshah.com. And for more information on Clearview, check out our website at clearviewbc.org. Starting February 9th, we have an exciting new Greek course that's going to take place on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. We'll be going through Dr. David Allen Black's course called Greek for Everyone. Led by Dr. Abadan Shah, this course is designed to teach everybody in the church, from leaders to lay members alike, how to read and understand the original language of the New Testament. This is such an awesome investment into your spiritual life. It'll change the way you read God's Word. We hope to see you there February 9th at 6 p.m.